Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go, Tuesday, August the 25th, 2020, last Tuesday in the month of August, 15 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears back with you here. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning from 8:10 until 9 a.m., we've got the assistant editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac on, going to tell us what the year is going to be like weather-wise. And on Thursday morning, I'm really excited about this, a person who used to be regularly on this program, I think she used to be on the third Wednesday of every month, but we haven't done this for about a year. Maybe we'll get back into it. The undisputed queen of helpful hints, Heloise, will tell us how to get ready to go back to school, as well as how to clean things properly during this coronavirus COVID pandemic. Heloise, the legendary Heloise, Thursday morning, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and a whole bunch of other stuff as the week progresses. We want to thank Dr. Ron Arusi for coming on in hour number one, staying with us, giving us a lot of information. Of course, he is the superintendent of Marion City Schools. And it's, you know, I cannot imagine at this particular point how apprehensive people must be on both sides, the administrative side, the teacher side, the school side, but also the parents, the grandparents, the people who are raising the students that will be going back to school in under a week now. It's a very, very awkward, different time. If anybody has any thoughts on what Dr. Arusi said, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz on that or anything else that's on your mind this morning. We can talk about it. We talked about a lot of interesting stuff yesterday and had a lot of fun chatting with you here on the toll-free line. But if you have anything to say in regard to what Dr. Arusi said or anything that's going on, let me know. And we did get confirmation there that the scrimmage that the Harding High School football team was supposed to play this last Saturday against Upper Sandusky was canceled because of COVID on the Upper Sandusky side. So it's a very tentative situation. And I think it's moment to moment. And I think, you know, we're talking an awful lot about this week, and one of the reasons is because the kids are about to go back to school, the contact sports, football in particular, are starting, the big games are Friday, senior night will be Friday at Harding. We learned that this morning because we're not sure if the season is going to complete. We don't know. It's all up in the air right now, and that is something I don't think anybody thought that we would ever face. But here we are, and we will face it. You know, this is the thing about America in general, and this town in general. We do stick together. This is an awful situation to be in. Everybody knows that all across the country. It's no fun. We're having to change things. It's not great. But we will stick together, and we will get through it, because that's what we do. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott.
Yes.
You finally got the confirmation, huh?
We did get the confirmation. It's an interesting situation.
Right. I called you Friday night when I called you.
I do remember when you called Friday night. Now, what do you make of what Dr. Arusi had to say?
I think that, in a way, he's right to a point. But I still don't believe they should be playing sports. Because with what happened to Upper, Pleasant had an incident, I guess. And I know the kids want to play, but they got to do something better than what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that he talked about moving senior night up to this Friday, because they don't know what the season's going to look like.
We don't know. So if I'm going to do it, move the senior night up. Get it in. Get it over with. So they can have their night.
That's right. That's right. We'll see what happens this Friday. You know, I guess the best we can all do now is hope that Friday goes well, hope that the start of the school year goes well. It sounds like there's an awful lot of precaution in place, and that's very good. And that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, like I said, my grandson plays up there, and that's where I got my information from. And then my other grandson, back when he was born, he had a very serious medical problem. So he's going to do his schooling online because they don't want to take a chance with his medical by him catching anything.
Well, I certainly think people got to make these decisions from person to person. You know, you just have to decide what's best for everybody.
Well, that's what they're going to have to do. But, I mean, that's my opinion is they shouldn't be playing, but if they do play, go ahead and move senior night up, get it done, get it over with just in case anything happens.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Bob.
All right.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you think, Dr. Arusi? Very candid and very frank there. And he told us last time he was on, his mother passed away from COVID. That's very serious. And I'm sure weighs on him very heavily. And talking last hour about, heaven forbid, what would happen if something would happen to somebody. It's unbelievable. Go ahead, caller.
For what it's worth, I play senior softball. We've been playing since first week in August, and we have not had a problem.
Well, do you guys play with masks, or do you have any precaution?
Nope. No masks.
No masks.
One guy wears a mask. Social distance, and, you know, you're out in the open air, and We've not had a problem. We got about probably close to 100 guys playing ball. They play three nights a week, so.
Well, in this particular situation, I don't know what's happened. I don't know what happened in Upper Sandusky that caused the scrimmage to be canceled Saturday morning. I don't know. What's that?
I thought Arusi said that was Worthington.
I think he said the school was in. I think he said. No, he said Upper Sandusky. The school was in Upper Sandusky.
Oh, okay.
But I think, was it Thomas Worthington in Upper Sandusky?
Well, Thomas Worthington's not in Upper Sandusky. I'm in Columbus.
I'm almost positive he said Upper Sandusky. Yeah. I put money on it.
If he said Thomas Worthington, that's the school district my son used to be in. But that's in Columbus. That's in Worthington.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Upper Sandusky because I remember he said that something had went on over in Upper Sandusky. Regardless, though, the game didn't happen because some kids had tested positive.
But for what it's worth, we've been playing senior softball since the first of the month, and we have not had a problem. So.
Well, that's good. Well, it's a positive, and anything bad that doesn't happen will take as a positive.
Yep, that's true.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye.
Well, and there you go. There are those instances where things don't happen. And you know what? If nothing happens, great. If nothing happens Friday night, great. If we have five districts here in Marion, if nothing bad happens, you know what? Because it's going to go on Friday night. The games are going to go on. I don't see anybody canceling anything. So if nothing bad happens, that's what we want. I hope nothing bad happens. I hope everybody does what they're supposed to do. Everybody shows up. Everything's hunky-dory. And we're all happy at the end of the night. That's the best-case scenario. Same thing with schools opening up. You open up on this hybrid model. You want nothing to happen. No outbreaks. No cases. Everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. And we move on. That's what we want. I think what's going on right now is precaution. I think that's what everybody's thinking about. We're all thinking about precaution. We just don't want anything to happen. If nothing happens, then we did it right. I just don't know what the answers will be if something does happen. Because I think you have to look at all roads. You have to say, okay, if nothing happens, great. We got this in. We played for several weeks, we did what we needed to do, everything was great, perfect. That is the best case scenario. That's what we all want to see happen. But if it does go the other route and something doesn't go right, well, what do we do then? You know, and that's the tricky part of it. What do we do then? I know there are people angry. People are attending soccer games right now. They're seeing things and they're saying, hey, this is not how it's supposed to be. You know, it's kind of like going out in public. Some people wear the masks when they go out in public and they're very serious about it, and that's okay. But then there are some people who don't, and the people who wear them get very angry at the people who don't. It's a tentative situation. And what I wonder, and I keep wondering, you know, we are going to have flu season here pretty soon. And are there going to be a lot of crossovers here? Are a lot of people going to say, oh, I think I might have COVID, but I actually just have the regular flu? And I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of tests going on, I think is what probably will happen, because the flu can make people very ill. Do you remember the flu season last year? The flu season last year was awful. Didn't one of the schools have to close down for a few days last year because they couldn't get enough substitutes to cover what they needed to cover? Well, wasn't that last year that happened? And they were actually talking about closing the schools down for a couple days and getting in there and cleaning them because they were having such attendance problems. And that is the problem, because I think we did see that in schools at one point. And I think the big fear is, much like prisons, much like nursing homes, when you have a lot of people in one place every day, if it starts somewhere, a contagious illness starts, it can spread very, very fast, just like the flu. And it can knock people off to where they have to stay home and get well. And this COVID being a respiratory illness, it could be worse than the flu. So, you know, I don't know any school year that's ever started where teachers did not go in and get sick fairly early on in the year, because they're just not used to being around that many germs. You know, you get away from it for 3 months, and now teachers have been away from it for 6 months. You get away from it for a period of time, and you kind of build up a little bit of an immunity to it, and then you go back, and bam, you're hit with it, because there are so many people in one place, and kids tend to be carriers of a lot of germs, and it just happens. You get sick, you get that cold very quickly, usually by October, and you're not feeling so great. Different situation. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. But again, we thank Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent of the Marion City Schools, for calling in this morning and giving us all that information. Now, does anybody have any apprehensions out there in the community at this point? Do you worry about this? Or at this point, do you just say, it's going to be what it's going to be, so we're just going to go ahead and see what happens? It could be that. We might be at that point, to where that's just what it's going to be. Now, don't forget today, the Adam the Computer Guy show replays today, 2:10 to 3 p.m. We've got Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m. today, right here on WWGH Radio. So we hope you tune in to all of those programs. Just a different time. It's certainly a different time. Now, yesterday we were talking a little bit about Marion history again, which seems to be a popular thing to do. Talking about kind of who were the movers and shakers that you remember years ago in Marion. We talked about George Brown, Doc Brown, Madge Guthrie, Oliver Hamilton, people like that who were really involved, Trella Romine, in just about every facet of the Marion community. Is there anybody in your mind who sticks out in that particular way? Or the Palace Theater? We were talking about the Palace Theater. Now, does anybody remember things that were going on at the Palace Theater back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s? It seemed like the Palace had a resurgence in the late 90s and 2000s, but there were a few years there that I remember. It didn't seem like a whole lot of big shows were coming to the Palace, but maybe you remember some that I don't. Memories of the Palace Theater. Memories of the Popcorn Festival. Obviously, we're not going to have a Popcorn Festival this year, but do you have any memories of years past? A lot of great talent has been at the Popcorn Festival over the years. And last year, or yesterday, we were talking about the whole River Valley cancer scare of the late 90s. And it's not a pleasant thing to talk about. And we talked about it late last year some. But that whole situation has always baffled me. I really don't know to this day what totally happened. Because obviously new schools were built. River Valley built new schools to get away from the old schools because they felt that there might be a risk of children getting cancer if they stayed in those schools. But the schools were not torn down. The schools are still there and being used for something. Does anybody know what's going on out there at River Valley now? I drive by and I see trucks there sometimes and semis and things like that. Does anybody know what's going on out at River Valley right now? It's just been a long... I don't know. It's been a long time since those schools have been open now. But I don't know what's going on out there. Does anybody know what's going on? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what's going on out there? Or does anybody recall that whole River Valley cancer mess in any kind of detail? Because I would have just thought that the buildings would have been torn down. If nothing else, the buildings would have been torn down and the land would not have been allowed to be used for anything. But here we are years later, and it is. And I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know enough about it to be able to tell you exactly why that is or what's going on out there. You know, GTE and Verizon and the many names that it's had across the way operated. I don't think it ever stopped operating until it went out of business a few years ago, the call center. And that was really close to that area. And I don't know if the levels, the omissions were like that across the street. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot of panic involved with what was going on over at the phone company. So, strange situation, but one of those things in Marion history that we certainly all remember very well. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So we're looking for memories of the Palace Theater, memories of the whole River Valley situation out there that went on in the late 90s, early 2000s. Where did people used to hang out in Marion downtown? We've talked a lot about downtown Marion, but if you were going downtown, and we talked about Gallagher's, but if you were going downtown as, let's say, a high school kid or younger than that or older than that, let's say you were an adult, where did you go downtown for a good time? You know, if it's Friday night, party night, where did you go? What were the hot spots downtown? What were the hot spots in Marion in general in those days? I don't know where people would have went. Does anybody know? Was anybody around at that time going around place to place? What were the classy places? You know, we talked about the Harding Hotel a lot, and there was a Key Club. Now, I'm still not sure exactly what the Key Club was, except that it was in the basement. I do know it was in the basement of the Harding Hotel. Now, what the Key Club exactly was, I really have no idea. I don't know why it was called the Key Club. I think somebody told me at one point, but I didn't write it down, which goes to show you where my memory is at this point. But what was the Key Club all about? And obviously, the Harding Hotel, I would think, would have been a place that people would have hung out and had a lot of fun with and fun at. I don't know. Country music was very big in Marion. I do know that. There were a lot of country bands that were localized here that used to draw very big crowds at fairs and establishments that they would play at. Now, that went on for a long time as well. I don't know what happened with that. I still think country music is very popular in Marion, but it doesn't seem to be played quite as much as it used to in establishments. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, and maybe I just don't get out enough. But it doesn't seem like it's out there like it used to be, and I know it used to draw big crowds. Like the Chuck Wagon Pals, we hear about them a lot. Now, does anybody have any recollection of the Chuck Wagon Pals? Now, it's my understanding that this was pretty much just a country music group. Now, I know they used to perform on the radio locally here, and I know they used to perform at the fairs and things like that, but why were they so popular? What are the memories of that particular group, the Chuck Wagon Pals? And then I know there was a program at one point, and I'm trying to think of what it was called. I think it was called the Country Jamboree that was on radio here locally. I think it was the WMRN Country Jamboree. That was a big thing. And I think that was put on by a business. Now, I want to say Whirlpool, but I really don't know if it was Whirlpool or not. Seems to me like it was. But I know it was a factory that put it on. Now, I guess in those days, it could have been Tecumseh. It could have been the Shovel. It could have been any of those places. But it was a program called the Country Jamboree. And I think it used to be on Saturday nights. I don't know where it originated from, but it was a very popular show because country music was very popular in this particular area. But doesn't seem to be, you know, it's Marion's interesting that way because I've always felt that we had very deep country roots, yet a lot of businesses and a lot of places really don't try to cater to that. And I'm not sure what that's about. I'm not sure if they're trying to get the younger kids in and maybe the younger kids don't listen to that. There's something to that. I'm not really sure what it is, but there definitely is some turn there that happened. Maybe 30, 40 years ago, that kind of changed the makeup. I always thought at the Popcorn Festival, the country music night was usually the biggest night, unless they had a huge rock and roll band name-wise, or a huge pop band. It always seemed to me like the country music nights did the best. That was just my perspective on the whole thing. Now, does anybody feel any different or have anything to say about the start of schools and football games and everything that we have coming up in the days ahead of us? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Would love to hear what you have to say. Now, what did I talk about yesterday here on the program? Well, we've got a lot of great interviews coming up this week, and I'm excited about that. Oh, and let me talk a little bit about this, because last Friday, big long history to it, but last Friday, we did get the exchange program back on the air, and Abby was here with me on Friday, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. We had a good time. It was enjoyable. But here's the thing. Now, this is still funny for me to talk about. But, you know, we tape these podcasts, and I don't know what's going on there. Because on Friday, when Abby was here, we had talked about her putting the podcast up on Facebook to advertise them so people could see them. Because the only other way to really find them is if you go to YouTube and you search Paper Rings Podcast, it'll pop up. Now, other than that, people would never know they were there, except me saying it right here. So we delegated this job to Abby to put these things up and advertise them on the internet. Now, for some reason, that has not happened. Now, she said she was going to do it Friday. Now, I'm not saying she didn't get busy Friday. She very well might have got busy. She might be busy up until this point. You never know. But it's just an interesting thing how that's all going. And, you know, I think the podcasts are actually pretty good. I think they're very eclectic. I like eclectic conversation. I like to sit down and have a conversation that isn't always so much focused in on one specific topic, that it has more to do with broad strokes. And I certainly think those particular podcasts are broad strokes. So we'll see if they get promoted. I don't know. We'll see what happens as time goes on. But it was fun to have her back in here on Friday. And we did have a lot of fun, I think, discussing everything that had happened heretofore with the Friday show. And I appreciate everybody who had an opinion on that. I think it's important to have opinions. But here's the thing. I think Abby in general always thinks that I'm trying to make her out to be the bad guy. I'm really not. In my own mind, I'm not trying to make her out to be the bad guy or twisting any stories or anything like that. I think she thinks I am, but I'm really not. I'm trying to be straight ahead, straight and narrow with these particular stories. But sometimes, somehow, they get a little crossways. But you know what it all dates back to? It all dates back to that gravy, to be honest with you. If you don't remember, and we talked about it forever on this show, months and months and months ago, way back in the beginning of the year, I mentioned on the air one day that I did not like gravy. I'm one of those weird people who does not like gravy. Now, every so often, I can put a little gravy from like KFC or Lee's Chicken. I can put a little gravy on my potatoes, but it has to be from one of those places, and it has to be very little. I'm not gravy for breakfast. I don't put gravy on any kind of meat. I just can't do gravy. So, in any event, her being from Kentucky, she decided that, I believe it was her grandmother's recipe, it was somebody in the family's recipe, there was some lineage involved there, that she was going to make this gravy for me. What is the gravy in the morning called? Sausage, biscuits, and gravy? I think that was it. Or maybe that's something you eat all day long, I don't know. She was going to make the sausage, biscuits, and gravy with her special homemade recipe. And this was going to make me a convert on gravy. Well, I will never forget the day, because I could smell it down the hallway. I could smell this stuff. And for some reason, even the smell of it makes me a little, it's not queasy, but it just makes me a little, it gives me the feeling like I should run in the opposite direction. Like I should not go in that room. And I remember going in there that day and seeing that gravy in the skillet, and thinking, gee whiz, this is not something I want to put in my mouth. This is just, you know, I'm going to need some kind of beverage here because this is not going to work. Now, here's what I want to say. I did try the gravy, and I did not like it. But there were other people in the room who did. So, if you do like sausage, biscuits, and gravy, you probably would have loved it. This old Kentucky recipe is probably something that you would think is delicious. But for me, it just was not the case. Now, again, this could be because I'm not a sausage biscuit type of person. I just am not for the gravy. Now, oddly enough, I can have it just about any other way. You know, I like a sausage egg McMuffin. I like sausage and eggs. I like sausage in general. It's just when you put that gravy on there that everything goes south. Now, somehow, I ended up as the bad guy in that particular situation, and I'm not sure why. I was just being honest. Now, conversely, I can say that on my birthday, she made blueberry dumplings. Those were delicious. I thought those were great. Haven't had any since, but I thought those were great. And then at one point, she made homemade apple butter, and I thought that was great. And then at another point, she made apple butter donuts. I didn't think those were bad. But for some reason, it all goes back to that gravy, which I tried to say I did not like anyway. And I think I should get points for trying it. Don't you? Do you think there's any way that I could ever like gravy? Or is it just one of those things that is never going to happen? Is there a food that is just a complete disaster for you? Gravy's it for me. Gravy and peanut butter in a way. Although peanut butter is not as big a disaster as gravy. Peanut butter, I could never eat a peanut butter sandwich. But like I can eat a Buckeye. And I can eat peanut butter fudge. And I can eat a Reese cup. But I'm just not somebody who could ever eat a peanut butter sandwich. And I would not want peanut butter on celery. I know a lot of people do that. That would not be my thing. So there are just different concoctions. Is there a food that you just can't stand out there? Or maybe, is there a food that you used to not like, but now you like now? Give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Talking about food this morning. We do a lot of conversations about food on this show. I think people like to talk about food. Is there a food that you used to hate that now you kind of like? Or is there a food that you still can't stand and never will? One morning we did something on this show that I thought was a lot of fun. We did recipes about food, from food, that are strange. We did strange recipes. And boy, did we get a lot of those. I remember there were people who were eating grease. There were people who were pouring just syrup on a spoon. There were all kinds of weird things. Things people were doing with butter. Does anybody have a weird recipe out there? Give me a buzz. Go ahead, caller.
It's cottage cheese for me.
It's cottage cheese. Can't eat it.
Oh, it's just the texture, the taste. Never had a taste for cottage cheese.
Now, did you ever try it with peaches or anything like that?
No, never really did. If it was cottage cheese under it, over it, in it, no.
Now, you also had a thing like Charlie with macaroni and cheese, didn't you?
Yeah, I never cared for the macaroni and cheese either. Just not a big cheese eater. You got a good memory.
I do. I remember you two having that conversation about cheese. What was it, just you never liked it from childhood on?
My mother used to make, like, it wasn't macaroni and cheese, but it was like all the shells with, like, beef or something like that. And that was fine. I liked that. I just didn't like all the cheese. Now, I'll have cheese on a pizza, or I'll have a cheese sandwich. But just never cared for the macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. Well, cottage cheese, I know that's it. A lot of people don't like cottage cheese.
Yeah, just there's something about the texture.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
I'll see you in a bit.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, talking about cottage cheese. Now, here's the thing about cottage cheese I would like to bring up. I have a recipe for a cottage cheese dessert that I have given on the air several times. And I love it because there's no sugar in it, there's no carbohydrates in it, and it's a great dessert for a diabetic. Now, I'm not a diabetic. I just like the dessert. And I know a lot of people have called in for this recipe. And I'll give it to you again because it's very simple. All you have to do is go to the store. You can usually prepare this for under $5. You just get a tub of cottage cheese, just plain cottage cheese. You get a tub of whipped cream, like Cool Whip, that type. Or you can get the generic store brand, whatever you want. And then you get a regular size box of sugar-free Jell-O, whatever flavor you like. Then you go home. You let the ice cream thaw, or the whipped cream thaw out. You put the whipped cream in the bowl, all the whipped cream in the bowl. Then you take the powder. Now, don't set the Jell-O up. You just take the powder of whatever you got, Jell-O-wise, and you dump it in the bowl. And then you just dump the entire contents of the cottage cheese in the bowl. And then you stir that all up. You have to stir it up good. So the mixture of whipped cream and cottage cheese all turns the color of whatever Jell-O you have. If it's raspberry or cherry or strawberry, it'll turn kind of pinkish. If it's orange, it'll turn kind of orangish. But you put it in the refrigerator for a half hour, let it get chilled, and then you eat that, and it's delicious. To me, the orange version of that tastes kind of like a dreamsicle. The old dreamsicles that you used to get off the ice cream truck. Now, has anybody ended up trying this? Or, I don't know. Do you have something that you eat that's kind of strange? Or a recipe that you would like to share on the air? I think recipes are interesting. Because trying different things is fun. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort box. 740-383-9944. 49 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Is there something you eat that would be considered weird? Do you have a recipe for something that you like? Or is there something you just cannot stand to eat? Much like cottage cheese for some people. Mine is gravy and peanut butter. Charlie's for a long time was macaroni and cheese. There are just certain things that people don't like. Now, you know something I've never run into? Somebody who didn't like pizza. Now, I've ran into pizza people who did not think pizza was their favorite food, but I've never ran into anybody who absolutely hated pizza. I don't know what it is about pizza that somebody will always like it in a group. Go ahead, caller.
You got to put pineapple with the cottage cheese.
Is it? Now, I thought it was peaches and cream. I thought that was peaches and cottage cheese.
No, peaches and cream is peaches and cream.
Well, like whipping cream?
Can be, yeah.
Now, see, when I've ordered that on the menu at the restaurants, peaches and cream, they always bring me peaches and cottage cheese.
Huh. Now, it's always been pineapple and cottage cheese. That's good. A little tart, a little sweet.
Now, what do you think it is about cottage cheese? It seems like people either love it or they hate it.
I suppose it's when they look at it, because it's little clumps of curd. And, you know, if you don't like curd, then, you know, a lot of people never like the cream off the top of the old milk jugs. They'd throw that away rather than shake it into the milk. And that was probably the best part of the milk, was the thick cream on top.
It's just been a funny thing with cottage cheese because, you know, I've always liked it and I use it in that dessert and I can eat it plain. I like it on the plate. But I just know that there are people who absolutely hate it. And it seems to be the majority of people don't like it. But yet, when I go to the grocery store, it's a very popular item that people buy.
Yeah, it's gone most of the time. Peas is a downer for me.
Peas?
I like peas, yeah. They're mushy.
So peas. Now, how do you feel about broccoli and Brussels sprouts?
Oh, I like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I just don't like peas. I think it's consistency I don't like.
Huh?
They're mushy.
Well, that's interesting. Well, thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye bye. You know, the one that I always hear is broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I don't know what it is about broccoli and Brussels sprouts that people have such a problem with, but a lot of people don't like those. Now, broccoli, I can eat. I can eat broccoli raw. I can eat broccoli cooked. I like broccoli with cheese melted on it. I like broccoli with a ranch dip on it. I like broccoli just about any way there is. But it does seem like there are a lot of people who don't like broccoli, and they don't like, for whatever reason, Brussels sprouts. Now, Brussels sprouts, I was trying to think about this. I cannot remember if I've ever eaten Brussels sprouts. Now, I might have, and it was so awful that I just don't ever want to try it again. But I can't ever remember trying Brussels sprouts, but they don't look good to me. It's kind of like cabbage. You know, there's something about the smell of cabbage that I just don't like. Now, for a long time, I did not like stuffed peppers. But now, I do. Depending on how they're cooked, I do like stuffed peppers. But for a long time, those were not my favorite. All right, let's see what we got coming here. Food is the topic. Go ahead, caller.
We just had some Brussels sprouts here 2 or 3 weeks ago. And if you take and put them in the oven and bake them, they are really good.
Now, what is it about Brussels sprouts that people just can't stand?
They look like a little cabbage.
Is that the reason?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just met so many people who didn't like Brussels sprouts, and I think it even tops broccoli on the list of things people don't like.
Probably never tried it, but they're good.
Yeah. I never remember trying Brussels sprouts, but I think it's the... Yeah, I think it's the aroma that I don't like.
We bake them, and it's good.
Now I'll have to try it. I'll have to give Brussels sprouts another shot and see if they're any good.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, and I'll tell you, come to think of it, there's another one that I know people cannot stand, and it's not even, it's hard to find on the menu, really, at any restaurant, and that's liver. Liver and onions. You know, it seems like you either love that and will eat it all day long, or you just can't stand it. And it, the few times I've seen it on a plate, it just does not look appealing to me. Which I guess would tell you that presentation is everything. It's not something I would even want to try just because of the way it looks, the liver and the onions. It just doesn't look good to me at all. I understand it looks good to some people, but to me, it doesn't look good. But there are those people, when they find it on the menu, they will go to a certain restaurant just to get the liver and onions. And I always wondered, the liver, does it cost a lot to buy liver and onions? Because it isn't on the menu of a lot of restaurants at all. Any fans of liver and onions out there? What does it taste like? What kind of meat would you most compare it to? 740-383-9944. Or is there anything that you eat that's considered weird? As I say, we heard a lot of weird stuff. Syrup on a spoon. We heard about... well, the one I remember is graham crackers and peanut butter dunked in tea. Or I guess dunked in coffee. I guess you could go either way. And I remember people who used to take the saltine crackers and dunk those in just milk. Did anybody ever do that? Was that maybe a bygone thing from a bygone era? Where people, and I'm pretty sure it was saltines. Now, I know a lot of people do it with the Ritz crackers and the Toll House crackers. But does anybody remember dipping saltine crackers in milk and eating them? I knew some people who used to do that. And when they did it, you know something about that, though? I'll tell you this. When I saw them doing it, I thought, that doesn't look good at all. It's not going to taste good. But I did try it. Now, it's not something I would go out of my way to fix or have in the house. But it's not awful. You know... The milk kind of permeates the cracker, and it's just not that bad at all. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, talk about Seven Foods. Back in the day, when we didn't have much to eat, we had what we called coffee bread.
And
we
what,
put the bread on a plate, pour some coffee on, a little bit of sugar.
So
that was our breakfast.
So you'd put bread on a plate, and then you douse it in coffee, and then put some sugar on it.
Right, and that was our breakfast a lot of times.
Now that was called coffee bread.
Yeah, coffee bread, and then also, if we had the milk, we would take the bread and pour milk over it and have it that way.
So just the bread soaked in milk.
Bread and milk.
Now, did you ever toast the bread? Did you ever toast the bread?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we had a toast every morning. But a lot of times, if we had to toast, we had an old coal cook bar, and we would toast the bread in it, and then pour the milk over it.
Well, that's interesting. I've never heard that. I thank you for calling in.
Well, that was back in the day, probably way before... He was ever around.
It might have been, but who knows? Maybe it'll make...
The crackers, they talk about dipping the milk.
Right.
We did that too.
Yeah, was it the saltine crackers?
Saltine crackers.
Saltine crackers,
and,
yeah.
And dipping the milk, because the thing to be short, so we kind of made up our own. Yeah.
Yep.
And one thing I used to do, back when I was a kid, we'd take bread, put butter on it, put mustard on it, and put a little sugar on it, and make a sandwich over.
Bread, butter, and mustard.
And sugar.
And sugar.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely an interesting thing to eat. Well, hey, I thank you for the recipes.
Hey, it was good. It was just something we made up. Whenever we didn't have much, you made up your own.
Sometimes you got to be handy with what you have. Yep. All right, thanks. Well, there you go. How about that? Bread, butter, and mustard. And coffee bread. I've never heard of that before, but I guess you just take the bread and you put some coffee on it, and then you put some sugar on top. You know, people had to make do with what they had. And coffee was not hugely expensive. And if you had any left, what else are you going to do with it? And bread was not hugely expensive, so people came up with these ideas. It's kind of interesting. We'll take one more call here before we go off the air today. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, this was a good thing to do growing up. It didn't take long for me to realize that you didn't have to wait until you got to the bottom of the box of cereal for that prize.
You
dump all the cereal out in like a mixing bowl, then you get the prize. My brother could never understand how I always got all the prize.
Dumped all the cereal out and got to the bottom of it.
Right. It didn't take me long to figure that out. He never could understand how I got all those prizes.
Your brother never got a prize out of a cereal box because
I was the reigning prize champion for the whole duration of the 80s.
That's funny. Hey, thanks.
I'll see
ya. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Maybe we'll do some more of this tomorrow. Remember, we've got the assistant editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac tomorrow, 8:10 to 9 a.m., and legendary Queen of Helpful Hints, Heloise, on Thursday, 9:10 till 10 a.m. So stay tuned for all that. Adam the Computer Guy today, 2 to 3. Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4 to 5, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5 to 6, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
You have to get her on if you get through her secretaries.
Her secretaries are difficult to get through. Once you get to Jane, you're okay, but the secretaries are a little difficult.
It's that force field it's around.
Force field. Streaming live on internet at www.